Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Christmas time, we look back to Jesus Christ's first coming as a baby born in Bethlehem, but we also look forward to his second coming when he will renew and redeem every part of fallen creation. The Christmas season is a time for remembering and rejoicing. Please join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his Advent series entitled, Beholding the Glory of God.
This morning we begin our Christmas series. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christmas is the season when we look back to Jesus Christ's first coming as a baby born in Bethlehem. And we look forward to his second coming when he will return, at which time he will renew and redeem every part of fallen creation. Christ has come. Christ is coming again. And this is a season, and this is a day when we are going to remember and rejoice in that. In light of that first promise of God, which was fulfilled in the incarnation of Jesus and is anticipated in his second coming, we've chosen for our Christmas theme 2021, Beholding the Glory of God. I believe that one of the greatest needs of the church at this hour in human history is for us to see and behold the glory of God. A couple of definitions would probably be in store. What does it mean to behold? The word behold means to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. It means to excite attention or cause to admire either something or someone. It means to consider. William Barclay, a Greek scholar, tells us that the word consider does not mean simply to look at or to notice a thing. Anyone could look at a thing or even notice it without really seeing it. The word means to fix the attention on something in such a way that its real inner meaning, the lesson it is designed to teach, may be learned. Behold, the glory. The most common Hebrew word for glory is the word kabod. And the fundamental idea of this root word has the idea of weightiness or heaviness. Its primary use conveys the idea of some external, physical manifestation of God's almost indescribable power and beauty and majesty and splendor and presence. As in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 and 35, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and verse 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. If that depth of the presence of God took place under the covenant or the dispensation that is passed, how much more when you and I are singing? Five times in Psalm 24, God is referred to as the King of Glory. And it means that he is an awesome king, a powerful king, one who is to be worshipped, one who is to be reverenced, one who is to be feared. The biblical record of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was summarized by the Apostle John this way: "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And thus the Lord Jesus Christ is the true tabernacle or temple by whom God's glory dwells with man. He's the fullness of deity in bodily form. And beholding the glory of God is what you and I are going to be focusing on this month. And keep this thought in mind, that you will become like that thing or person that you behold and attach value or glory to. It shouldn't be of any surprise to any thinking person that beholding the God of glory and his glory as he is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ has little or nothing to do with our contemporary celebration of Christmas, let alone in our politically correct society. The incarnation of Jesus Christ and his redemptive purpose for being sent into this world is a message that is totally offensive to our woke, liberal, godless society. Any observation of the vast majority of the lyrical, religious content or spiritual themes of contemporary movies, music, and the multitude of cable television programs is proof that we are living on a planet that is in active rebellion against the glory of God and his word. It's just like it says in Luke chapter 19, our society has basically said, we will not want this man. We do not want this man to reign over us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our society is beholding and being conformed to the progressive, radical, ever-increasing anti-Christian message at the blazing speed of internet and cable TV. And I said all of that to make this very important point that I made a moment ago. A person or an individual is eventually going to be conformed to what they behold and attach glory or value to. Both God and the devil have an agenda. Both God and the devil have a kingdom. Both God and the devil have an image that they desire to conform you to. And those two agendas are in conflict with one another. Those two kingdoms are in conflict with one another. Those two images are in conflict with one another. You can't live in both kingdoms. No man can have two masters. Our precious Lord Jesus told us about this inevitable conflict that his people would have in the Gospel of John chapter 15 when he said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept me my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." The very last message that our anti-Christ culture wants to hear is behold and declare the glory of God. But church, we will not be intimidated. Amen. Nor will we be silenced. We will boldly proclaim this Christmas season the words that John the Baptist declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, Christmas is a message of redemption. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not one of many ways that people come to God. Jesus is the one and only God-appointed sacrifice for the sins of all who repent of their sin and believe in him. Jesus put it this way: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you don't believe that, you call him a liar. and you're lost. So we need a change, don't we? We want to see a change, don't we? I want to see a change. And to change what we become as an individual or as a nation or even as a church requires a change in what we behold. And the one and only way that we change from what we are presently to what God created and intended us to become is by beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, beloved, we will reflect what we behold. And as you and I behold the glory of the Lord, we will be continually transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. And then with ever increasing glory, we are called to reflect Christ in a world that does not know him, in a world that is lost, in a world that is looking for answers. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And just as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness at creation with the power of his voice there in Genesis 1:3, so he commands the gospel to shine in the hearts of you and I, his people, with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, because Christ is the answer for the needs of our society. In the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, we read, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Creation, Christmas, the glory of God, they all are that one message to magnify the power, wisdom, and the glory of our Creator. The psalmist begins with the works of creation. According to Psalm 19, the very reason that God created this vast universe, it is pretty vast, isn't it? is in order that mankind might behold the glory of God and magnify him, not man. You've never seen, or if you've seen the videos of those who climb Mount Everest, or when someone landed on the moon, you don't climb Mount Everest to look in a mirror. You don't land on the moon and then just go, wow, aren't I something else? When the natural eye looks at the vastness of creation, it is meant to tell our souls that what we see is pointing us to a creator who is glorious in splendor and majesty and beauty. You see, creation owes its existence to the triune creator God of Genesis 1:1, not Mother Nature. And Jesus, in John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 is one of the clearest biblical statements that nature is meant to show the greatness and the glory of God. And the tense of the Hebrew words is in the present. In other words, continually, right now, creation is declaring the glory of God. No matter where you are on this planet, creation is sending a message of the glory of God. Creation is an unending message of God's glory to our planet, to you and to me this morning. It's a continual display of his splendor, a continual display of his majesty. And what we see in nature is meant to constantly show us that God exists, that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And how glorious he is. I think of the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one fails. What an awesome passage. As we observe the visible heavens, so vast, so spacious, adorned with stars and planets and solar systems that are in their courses and rotations, it's all the glory of God. Universe, the universe declares the glory of God. And observations of design and nature are best explained by a deliberate, intelligent act of creation rather than by randomness or luck, which is why our secular, godless culture viciously attacks the Genesis account of creation. And when a society attacks divine design, destruction and depravity are the inevitable consequences. The deepest need of image bearers of God is to behold and embrace the glory of God. But the scripture tells us that if we do not behold and embrace and enjoy the glory of God, by default, we are inevitably going to choose to behold and embrace and enjoy other things and reap the inevitable consequences. We see that happening. It's happened from the fall, and it's happening in our very midst. Let me give you one contemporary example of this in our society that really needs little or more or no comment. When Jesus was questioned about the issue of marriage and divorce, he said in Mark 10, verses 6 through 8, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more two, but one flesh." I want you to notice here that the Lord Jesus quotes the Genesis account verbatim. It's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. He said that God created them male and female. He calls a male a male, calls a female, and there is no third gender. When you were born either a male or a female. And he declared that God's design for marriage is between a male and a female, for only a male and a female coming together intimately in the covenant of marriage are able to biologically reproduce and have children. Correct? So the message that God's design for marriage is a heterosexual union with a man and a woman, but that's not politically correct in today's society. And the reason why is found in these sobering words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own bodies to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." The reason why our society is as disordered and dysfunctional as it is because we have exchanged the glory of God for other things. The psalmist wrote in chapter 4, verse 2, "O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing or lies, worthless things, Selah. God is saying that to this planet. How long will you believe a lie? How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long? As I said a moment ago, the deepest need within every human soul is to behold and enjoy the glory of God. And Scripture tells us that if we do not behold and enjoy the glory of God, we will inevitably choose to behold and give glory or value to other things. But in the process, we will reap and are reaping as a society the inevitable consequences of making that choice. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he or she or society reap. And so here we are this morning, December 5th, 2021, living in very, very difficult times. But we're here for a purpose. And we've got news that the world needs to hear. And let me tell you, and when I say that, I'm there's four fingers pointing at me. When the devil's agenda is to constantly seek to draw our attention and our affections away from the beauty and glory of God and get hung up on or attached to other things. We've been redeemed from this present godless, evil, wicked world system. Remember that when the devil sought to detour Jesus from going to the cross, one of the ways that he tried to allure him is found in Matthew 4:8. The devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Here, you can have all of this. Just don't go to the cross. Peter, writing to you and me, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Pastor John Piper wrote these words, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. Behold the glory of God, saints. Behold the glory of God. I really believe that what I need to hear, what we need to hear, what the church needs to hear, and certainly what the world needs to hear, is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I really believe that God is calling many of you to change your focus and set your affections on things above. There are people in this world, people in the church who are caught among the thorns that Jesus spoke about in the parable of the sower. And you're getting choked and you're getting suffocated or you're getting distracted by other messages, messages that are relevant to our life, messages that are important, but it's not the message. The prophet Jeremiah said to the people of God in the Old Testament, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out, cisterns, broken cisterns that can have no water. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Beloved, when you and I choose to look into the face of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, when we face the Lord of glory, the shadows of our past and all of the guilt and all of the sin is behind us. It's behind us. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Koinonia Fellowship. As we prepare to celebrate and shop for our loved ones, let's not forget the greatest gift of all, the free gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We also thank God for the East Rochester Fire Department and the other village churches and businesses who come together to participate in the annual Christmas outreach, bringing joy into the lives of needy families. Please pray that the Lord would be glorified during this season and many would come to know our precious Savior.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.